Well, this week we're going to continue on building the fire of the Holy Spirit into our lives by adding another dry log from the fruit of the Spirit. And today we're going to look at that dry log of peace. For in Galatians 5:22-23, we read, and you know, by the end of this series, we'll all have this verse down pretty good. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Yet we notice more and more that nervous breakdowns, panic attacks, unhealthy anxiety, tension, stress, fear, confusion, depression, and the likes are common in our world today. They just seem to be flooding in into the lives of people. And how do people deal with these issues? How do they find peace that they so desperately want and need? Well, some turn to drugs, alcohol, sex, overeating. Some go on shopping sprees over and over again. Some people binge read, will just sit down with one novel after another novel after another novel, or some folks will sit in front of the TV for hours on end. Or anything else that seems to give them peace. Let me share an illustration of this. Now, this is a real out there illustration, but it's true. Sarah Winchester, the widow of the owner of Winchester Gun Company, continued to construct and renovate her home from 1884 until she died in 1922. For 38 years, the home she lived in was under construction and constant renovations. Sarah had a team working on that home 24/7. Every day, all night long, people work. So these are just some pictures of the home. You can see the red, that's how extensive the home is, and it's in San Jose, California. There are several stories about why she continually worked on the home, but two which seem to rise to the top. One is that Mrs. Winchester believed that if she didn't keep building on her house, that there were ghosts from those who her husband's guns had killed or would kill, those ghosts would haunt her if she quit building on her house. That was one reason. Another reason was that she believed, somebody said that she believed that if she stopped working on the house, she would die. So if she continued to work on the house, she would continue to live. Interesting things. Whatever the reason, construction and renovation continued as long as she was alive. The mansion in San Jose, California, has over 10,000 windows, over 160 rooms. Have you seen this? I meant to mention it on Wednesday. I figured you've probably seen it because you've been, it's still being worked on today. They're still cleaning the windows. There are stairways and doorways that just lead to blank walls. If you go online, you'll see a picture of a stairway that just goes up and there's a ceiling. It is estimated that Mrs. Winchester spent more than $70 million in today's money on large, pointless construction. All in a desperate search for peace. Wow. And you know, I'm sure she found peace, as do most of those who put their time and effort into finding peace in things like drugs, alcohol, sex, overeating, or shopping, or binge reading, or anything else. I mean, they find peace, but it's only temporary and is more a form of escapism and avoidance instead of a long-term solution. They find peace. There's peace there. There is peace in those things that when you use alcohol or drugs or binge read or whatever you use, you can find a temporary peace for only a short period of time, though. If you quit, then you lose your peace. True peace, the true peace we are looking for, is an inner calmness, contentment, and confidence no matter what the outer circumstance seems to look like. It's that inner calmness where you just go, I'm okay. The storm's raging around me, but I'm good. And this seems impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And if we're going to escape and try to find that true peace we so desperately are looking for, we must first go to Jesus. As Isaiah 9:6 states, He is the Prince of Peace. And also the Holy Spirit lives within us, as we mentioned last week. And His peace is inside us. So real peace, real true peace, comes from our Heavenly Father and Him alone. Paul writes about this peace in Philippians. In Philippians 4:7 we read, And the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He is stating, as Christians, the real peace can be supernatural. It's beyond understanding. As there are times in our lives when that peace just shows up and we're thinking, where did that peace come from? Like, what happened? You know, we might be having a moment of anxiety and stressed out, and yet all of a sudden there's just that overwhelming peace just falls on you. Let me explain a time that happened to me. I remember there was a lady in one of our church services, and she was having some issues with her partner, and she had a restraining order on him. Now, this guy wasn't a nice guy. He would think nothing of beating somebody up. In fact, he had killed somebody. He had muscles on his arms that were 3 or 4 times the size of my little muscles. And one day we were at church, and the woman came to me and said that her partner was coming and he was going to be outside, and that she was fearful. I don't know, but the peace of God came over me, and I walked outside and I stood on the steps and I talked to the young man and said, "You can't come in, because there's a restraining order and you can't come in." And I was thought that this guy could just take me and go. Yet there was a peace of God that passed all understanding there. It was supernatural. It was there. I had no fear in my heart at all. It was just the peace of God. What is happening is that we experience peace, which is supernaturally unexplainable. The peace is not because of something we did. It wasn't peace because of something I did. I didn't conjure up some sort of peace and sit there and go, and get some peace. It just supernaturally fell upon me, and it happens from time to time. This peace is God's peace. It is the peace from the Holy Spirit living within us. This peace will guard our hearts and minds. Guards our hearts and minds. Paul's readers would have understood this analogy so clearly. For in Paul's day, when there was upheaval or unrest in the city, the city officials were really quick to bring out the guards and the garrisons, the military forces, to restore peace in the city and restore order. Whenever there is anxiety or unrest in our minds, the guard of peace, as it were, is called out to protect our minds and our hearts against the disorder and chaos that is happening there, against the confusion. And God just calls it out and allows His Holy Spirit's peace to just fill us. It's a supernatural, unexplainable peace. And I know there's people here saying, well, Scott, that would be nice, and I know it happens supernaturally, but it doesn't happen all that often. I mean, the guard of peace doesn't seem to show up all the time, as there are many times when our lives are filled with anxiety, fear, and confusion, yet we don't experience that peace. Well, maybe you folks always do, but there are people that don't. I myself included. And you know, this is because we have a responsibility to cooperate. We have a part to play or a part to do in it all. Did you notice at the end of the verse we read, His peace will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus? That's our part to play, in Christ Jesus. I'd like to take a moment and just explain the phrase in Christ Jesus. Let me illustrate it this way. My children would be able to say that they are in the Chadwick family. And in the Chadwick family would mean that they take their identity from the Chadwick family. Even though my daughter has married and takes another name, she still is in the Chadwick family, and so is my son. And they take that family name, and that name and their identity is in them. But also, when they were younger and they lived in the Chadwick family and in the Chadwick home, they were expected to follow and live by the values and rules of the Chadwick family. So one of the values and rules were that on Sundays we went to church. So it didn't matter how old they were. If they lived in the Chadwick home, they went to church. And if they lived in the Chadwick home, they showed respect to other people. So those are what it means to be in the Chadwick family. So in a sense, Paul is saying here that we get our identity from being in Jesus. To be in Christ means we get our identity because we're adopted into the family. And it also means that we are to follow and live by Jesus' values and teachings. See, the peace of God, the peace which guards our hearts and minds is ours because we are saved by grace and adopted by our Heavenly Father into His family. And that's those supernatural times that He comes and He just pours out His peace upon us. Yet there is more, as that peace which comes from being in Jesus also means that this peace comes as we live out His values and teachings. As we do what He commands in His Word. Let me ask you a few questions to make it clear. How much peace do we have when we knowingly lie to someone? Are you filled with a peace knowing that you lied to someone? How much peace is there when we steal something from someone? If I just walked into Marilyn's house and Andy's house and there was the $20 bill on the counter and I picked it up and put it in my pocket, how much peace do you think would be in my heart as I walked out that door? If we have a major argument with someone and we lose our temper, is there a sense of that overwhelming peace of God within our heart? No. The answer is definitely no to these questions. Why? Because all these things go against the values and teachings of God. We can't have peace if we're not in Christ. And being in Christ means we have a responsibility. We need to do our part of walking in His values and rules. His teachings. Paul shares some of these things we need to do if we really desire to have a dry log of peace burn bright on the fire of the Holy Spirit which is in our lives. Did you notice the first word in this verse? And? Now, Paul didn't use it as an addition. It wasn't like, well, here's a list of stuff and here's some more stuff. The word and here has this idea that and then. Or if you do these things, then this will happen. And so it connects. The verse, this and, connects the verse to the verse before it, to verse 6. So let's read verse 6 in Philippians chapter 4 that it's connected to. So it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God. Paul is saying, if we pray and we give thanks to God, then we will be able to experience real peace. Let's go back to the 1800s. In 1855, Joseph Scriven wrote the poem which later became the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. The second verse of that poem or song says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything. Some things? No, everything to God in prayer. That's exactly what Paul is saying here, but he's just reversed it. Paul is saying, if we don't pray and give thanks, we will not experience the peace we want or we need. Far too often, prayer becomes the last resort when it should be first place we go. As Jesus told us, we are to bring all our cares and our anxieties to Him. Yet, unfortunately, we just sort of go, well, I'll try and struggle through it myself for a little bit. I think I can make it. And we can do this. We can bring our prayers and our requests with thanksgiving, because can you imagine? Just think about it. We are bringing our prayers and our requests to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God Almighty, the one who holds all things in His hand, who everything is possible, and we're bringing them to Him. You're not bringing them to Scott, who goes, sorry, can't help you there. We're bringing them to the Almighty God. Isn't there real peace in knowing that? That the Almighty God has taken time to hear our prayer? And to answer it in the best way that He believes? That fits into His plan perfectly? Isn't that a peaceful thing to know that He's there at any moment of any day, 24/7? And then Paul goes on in verse 8, so the verse after that, Paul goes on and says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. Where does the wet log of anxiety and fear and confusion, which is trying to smother the fire of the Holy Spirit, where does it start? Starts in the mind. It starts in our minds. After we have prayed, then we need to focus our minds, our thoughts, on what is true and noble and right and pure and lovely, excellent and praiseworthy. These are the things of our Heavenly Father. That's where our mind needs to focus. Not on the things that are bringing us stress and fear and confusion and anxiety. We need to be focusing on the Father if we want to experience the peace. We can experience that peace even in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial, the anxiety. We need to focus our minds on the Father, for He can do it. On what He can do and what He will do. because he can do immeasurably more than we can even think or imagine. His plan and purpose for our lives is noble, true, excellent, and praiseworthy. Amen? I mean, that's his plan, that our lives, they're noble and true. And it's excellent and praiseworthy. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." He's writing to the Philippians there. But when we take it personally, what have we heard or received or seen from Paul? When we've read his letters, what he's written, we've learned to walk with Jesus, to follow Jesus' value and teachings. We've learned the teachings of Jesus, haven't we? And Paul says we need to put it into practice. And as we put it into practice, the peace of God will be with us, be with you. We are commanded to put it into practice, and we'll be able to experience God's peace. But Paul and Peter both knew that obtaining God's peace would not be the easiest thing happening. They knew the enemy would do all that he can to try and to have us live in anxiety, fear, and confusion. Have you noticed that? The enemy tempts us in all those ways that we live in that. But both Paul and Peter exhort us to pursue peace in the Scriptures. They say we need to pursue peace. Intentionally do all we can to have the peace of God burning bright in our lives. We need to continually place the dry log of peace on the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives every time we feel a dampening of anxiety, fear, confusion. We need to take everything to God in prayer, giving thanks for who he is and what he will do. We need to continually think on the things of our Father. And as Colossians 3:15 says, may we let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And then the fire of the Holy Spirit will burn bright, and others will see and be drawn to our Savior and Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that there's nothing in this world that is greater than you. You know all about it. And you are the one who can give us peace. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace that's unexplainable in the midst of the fear, in the midst of the anxiety, in the midst of the confusion. You give us peace as we pray, as we give thanks, as we focus on you, as we walk in your ways. You will give us peace. Father, we are a blessed people. Thank you. Thank you for making us your children. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God be with you today and go with you always.